Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through Star Trek Voyager episodes. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Robert Duncan McNeil here. Robert Duncan McNeil. You said y'all at the top.
Did you catch the y'all?
I
said,
did.
Hey, y'all. So this is Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, all these southern states. They understand y'all.
Y'all. It stands for you all.
You all.
You
yes.
all. What are you
why,
all doing? Y'all.
Y apostrophe A-L-L is
yes,
y'all.
Y'all.
Which is
exactly.
you all.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you're talking to somebody... like in the South, a common yep. phrase, you will recognize this, Robbie, is
yes.
what are y'all fixing to do? So yeah, that means what are you about to go do? Yeah, what are you getting ready to do? What are you doing today? So fixing yeah.
what are y'all
is a very
fixing
Southern.
To do? Yeah. Oh, I miss the South. I'm up here in the Great White North, Vancouver, British Columbia. You too. You're
yes.
up in Canada.
Yes, but it is interesting that yeah. we both spent time in the South. I mean,
oh, yeah.
we both played characters that were best buds on Voyager.
And we've got and this connection
both,
of...
We have this connection
yeah.
that we're both basically, you know, Southern boys, if you
well,
want to talk.
Well, I am wearing my Georgia Bulldogs jersey today, courtesy of...
Who are they
of,
playing today?
They played Missouri. They played Missouri.
Oh, they already played.
Yeah, they played yesterday. They played Missouri.
Sorry,
the Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah, Sunday is Saturday are the games.
Did they win?
Yeah, they played Missouri their last, I think it's the last regular season game, and they beat them 49-14, I think.
Oh, they crushed them.
Yeah, it was a good crushing.
God.
It was a good way
you were
to
saying
go
about your jersey. I think that's your, is that your Heinz Ward jersey?
It's my Heinz Ward jersey mm-hmm. that our lovely Voyager fan, Bill Yu, I just want to, you know, thank him again. I know I've talked about this a little bit, but
yeah.
this is Delta Flyers birthday football poem for Robert Duncan McNeil. This is
yes, you showed us that, but a second oh, mention yeah. is worth it too. Bill, you spent the time to actually make a write a poem and then send you
and
a
make
football
this card
jersey.
And send this football jersey to our Delta
yeah.
Flyers.
It's so nice
situation. I love it. I wear it. It's my good luck game day jersey now. I bring the power and the force of Starfleet to help my team win the game.
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, Garrett and I are both big football, American football fans, and
we are.
You're more of an NFL guy. I'm a big college football guy, but
yeah.
Yeah. And we both lived in the South and spent time. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of reasons why our characters got
yeah.
along well. So,
yeah, Robbie, and that's something that's always you know been at the back of my mind is how to spread the love of American football to the rest of the world, because
yeah.
let's face it, if you go travel to another country like Europe, or if you're in Asia, American football is not the big deal. It's
yeah.
soccer, which they call football, right?
Yeah.
That's the big deal.
Yeah.
So I'm just always wondering what can be done to educate the masses. You
I don't
know?
Know. I don't know. I mean, you know, you look at baseball or basketball, which both came from America. And baseball
yeah.
is now a world sport. People play it all over
huge,
the world.
Huge.
Basketball,
too.
The same thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think part of the problem with American football is there's so much equipment that you need. You need helmets, you need pads, you need, you know, all mostly that. But
true. But I think the biggest hurdle or stumbling block
yeah.
for American football to become worldwide popular is the fact that it is not an Olympic sport.
Oh, interesting.
Basketball is an Olympic sport. You see what I'm saying? Baseball has an Olympic. So if there was an Olympic component, then it would force other countries to truly learn the sport, right? And I felt that maybe if I was to produce and film a sort of a documentary series, sort of an ABCs of football, where each each episode is with a different NFL, either current player or retired great in a certain position. So this week, you know, we're going to cover wide receivers and we're going to interview Hines Ward, the great Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. And let's go through the drills that he does and let's have him explain what exactly the wide receiver, you know, position entails, the duties of a wide receiver, and sort of maybe have that and then translate that into other languages, or maybe I actually speak in the other language. Like, you know, let's face it, the largest market would be China.
It'd be it'd be a fun way to pass on the sport. You know, you may know this, Garrett, but I'm a big rugby fan as well.
Yes, you love rugby.
Yeah, I love it. And and I love watching, you know, Six Nations rugby or you know, any of the international games are really exciting. And the thing about rugby is it's very similar. It's like a cross between American football and soccer because it's a game that flows like soccer. It just keeps going. There's no stoppage. It's got a flow like soccer, but it's got the contact and the intensity of American football. I think one of the reasons that other countries have trouble with American football is that it's got this start stop. You know, there's only 15 minutes of action in the whole hour. There's a lot of waiting, but I think what Americans love about that is the theater and the drama of anticipation of like, what's going to happen.
Right.
And the clash, you know, the clash is pretty violent and exciting.
Yeah. One thing of note though, when I was in pre-pandemic in England, watching their broadcast of an American football game, they cut out all the breaks and all the timeouts and everything. So it's play after play after play after play. And then it's crazy. It's so fast. It's
very different.
It becomes more like a soccer free flow game because they don't stop at all. They edit everything.
Like watching an episode of Voyager and just like skipping to the highlight. You watch the whole episode in 6 minutes.
It's exactly what
it is. It would kind of ruin the episode if you did that. You so
probably would.
You need the drama. What episode are we talking about this week?
This episode is called Life Signs. Life Signs is the name of the episode. So let's go watch this episode.
And
come back and let everyone know what we think about this. Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. All right, guys. Hey, y'all. We're back.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. All right, we are back.
I'm feeling like I just saw, like, I don't know. I'm feeling a little sensitive about this. That was very moving, that episode.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah.
Yeah. I was wrong about, I mean, I was right about the back of it being the car.
You remembered the car. I totally didn't remember
but
that.
But that was, to me, the last scene of the episode in my mind.
Funny.
It literally, the shot was, and I even had the shot in my head. The shot was from behind.
Yeah, right? Looking out at Mars.
Looking out at Mars, and then it just sort of fades to black and credits. That's
what you remembered.
But then that wasn't the case. That was actually, you know, a little bit different.
There was a lot more story to go. I think the saddest part of the story was after that, you know?
Definitely.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get to that point.
Let's talk about it. Cliff Bohl directed this episode. Yeah. Cliff Bohl, one of our regulars. I love Cliff. He was always such a great director because he knew exactly how to say just the right amount, you know, to get a performance out of an actor without saying too much. He was just would really cut to the chase. I feel like he was often one that got us out early too. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we didn't have super long days with Cliff.
Yeah,
he tended to be like a more responsible, you know, organized director. And anyway, Cliff Bohl directed. Ken Biller wrote this episode, which is interesting because I think Ken wrote the B'Elanna Vidian episode Faces as well. Didn't he write that episode?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of bummed, man, because like Bohl never wrote me a good episode. Like he wrote great episodes
Biller, Ken
for
Biller.
B'Elanna. Yeah, sorry, Ken. But yeah, Biller never wrote me any great episodes. He wrote a great episode for more than one for Roxanne, and now
he really loved Roxanne's Doctor character.
You know, yeah. And also, I was incorrect in thinking that you had a lot of time off. You didn't have a lot of time off. You actually had some days that you worked.
No, I had to. So. I definitely had, and that's an interesting because that started sparking some memories. This episode, all of a sudden, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm remembering some things.
We're missing something, Robbie. We're missing let's do our synopsis breakdown.
Yeah, before we get too into it. See, we were both really, I think interested and taken by this episode because we're diving into all these.
We were kind of in love with this episode. We were distracted, just like
we really were. You know? Exactly. Okay. Yes, we were unnerved, as the doctor said. Okay.
Would you like me to start with haiku this time?
Yeah, and then why don't you can start with a haiku? Okay.
Distress call. From Pell. Hollow body cancels phage. Schmullus falls in love.
Wow. There you go. There you go. There's a haiku. I like it. Schmullus. All right. I didn't get Schmullus into my
That's quite limerick. Okay. That's quite all right. Let's hear the limerick though.
Okay, here we go with a limerick. Now I want you to remember the opening scene when Paris first comes in and he goes, and Chakotay's like, where were you? And he goes, picture this. And talks about.
Oh, okay. You know,
Paris goes, picture this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you do it in an Irish accent, can you?
I don't know if I can. This is a tricky one. I don't
That's
know.
That's all right.
Because they're just, this is a little, it's a little crammed together, this limerick.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
Here we go. Remember when Paris started the first scene with, picture this. Whatever he said. He had some excuse.
Yeah, yeah.
He started with picture this. So here we go. Mm-hmm. Picture this. I'm just getting ready to leave the mess hall. Then the doctor, he answers a distress call. His program's adapting. He wants to go dancing. He's in love, but he can't have it all. That's my
Oh, nice. It's all rhyming with, what are you writing the all with?
A distress call, mess hall.
Oh, call
picture
all.
This. Picture this. Yeah. I'm getting ready to leave the mess hall. Then the doctor, he answers a distress call. His program's adapting, if you know what I mean. He wants to go dancing. It's not exactly wrong. He's in love, but he can't have it all.
Have it all. Oh. All right. I like that one.
It's a little, limericks are, you know, they're limericks are tricky.
They are tricky to have a good limerick, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
Picture this. I'm just getting ready to leave the mess hall.
And
the doctor, he answers a distress call. His program's adapting. He wants to go dancing. He's in love, but he can't have it all. That was horrible.
See how much? No, that was great. That actually made the limerick. The minute you throw in the Irish accent.
Throw in the Irish accent. All right, I'll start practicing them with an Irish accent.
I am sure there are some actual Irish people listening to this, and they're probably going, that's not how we sound. We don't talk like that at all. Yeah, that's horrible. You're making us sound like a Lucky Charms. We don't talk like that. So, we apologize.
Yeah, I'm just trying to give it a little Irish flavor.
Yeah, because you are. Aren't you
Scotch Irish? I'm mostly Scottish, really. But
have you done a DNA test? Like, do you know your breakdown?
Yes, I'm mostly Scottish. Pretty much all Scottish. Yeah, I did the 23andMe. I was like, I was really hoping for some exotic combination of, like, you know, all the continents and interesting.
Yeah.
Just Scottish. Just British Isles.
What percentage?
Like 99.8%.
Scottish? Dang.
British Isles, which is
British Isles-ish. Yeah. Okay. So just general UK.
Literally 0.2% of Northern European. The rest was literally all British Isles.
So you have no Asian in you whatsoever.
No Asian, no African, no Mediterranean, no nothing.
Man.
I was really hoping for some of that.
Robbie, you are probably as white as can be. That's basically
comes
down to. You are a very white man. Okay.
Yeah, I was hoping. I did the 23andMe thing. I was hoping to get some, like, really interesting, you know, connection to something,
like, everyone,
I had no idea about.
Yeah.
A lot of people do, but I got nothing.
Oh, yes. I would have to say probably 90% of the Caucasian people I know, when they do a DNA test, it ends up coming up, I'm 2% West Indian. I'm like, what? I'm 1% Mongolian. There's always a little of something, but not with you.
No, not with me. Nothing.
Good to know. Nope. Did Rebecca do it?
Yeah.
And did she have any strange, any random?
She had a little African, and I forget, West African, and I forget. It was a very small percentage, but it was like, she's a redhead. And it's like, what? She's like paler than me.
There are probably ginger West Africans as well.
Probably, couldn't yeah. She's like a ginger pale.
Like a reddish undertone. So, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, she had like 2% or something. Like, I was really jealous about that.
Yeah, because she's more fair skinned than you are.
Much more fair skinned. Yeah.
I think she's, yeah, for sure. Okay. Well,
there we go. There's the haiku. That's
our haiku and a limerick.
And
let's just start with the very first scene. You come into the bridge and you make the announcement to the entire bridge.
Yeah.
Sorry I'm late, but I have a very good excuse. Picture this, and you start going into it.
Yeah, exactly. He's really wants everybody to know that he's got a good excuse.
You're making this big entrance. Why am I tapping your arm? Why did I just, you know, like when you were at the station?
You were like, look over at Chakotay's mad, dude.
Shut up. Is that what I was doing?
Yeah, okay. You were like, stop talking so loudly.
Stop talking. Yeah. You're embarrassing me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a little awkward moment. And then...
It is.
And then we immediately get the distress call, and we see that there's a very weak life signs, and we beam aboard this Vidian, this female Vidian.
Mm-hmm. Dinara Pell.
Dinara Pell.
And I like that name, Dinara Pell.
Her implant, we realize, is what's keeping her alive. Mm-hmm. That the doctor says this implant is like a neurocortical stimulator or something. It's stimulating all of the organs, but they're only functioning, I think he said, 20%, and that was declining rapidly. So she's really dying any minute now, and he's got to do something.
Yeah,
So...
By the way, it was the third time that you were late. I just want to throw that out there in 1 week.
Yeah, third time. Yeah, right. Clearly there's a pattern of being a problem going on. And I've seen that the last few episodes. So there's definitely something.
And don't be critical, because from the comments from our fans, like when you were really critical one of the prior episodes, like, I can't believe Paris is doing this. And all the fans were like, because in a later episode, it explains it all. So we're not there to that point. But you are doing for a reason, evidently.
Well, it's definitely starting to add up. I can see, and I do remember some of these things that are coming up.
One thing about Paris going through this, whatever he's going through right now, is I've just been enjoying all the different hair
incarnations
that you've had. Like, I don't know what's going on to this week, but it's crazy. you've got some crazy.
I got a loop-de-loop going on.
It's like a little loopy waterfall thing.
Yeah.
I
can tell before I even open my mouth in a scene now that the messier the hair, the more trouble Paris is going to try to be. You just look at the hair and immediately it's like, he's got to tell. It's all, you know.
That's your hair tell?
Yeah,
most people have a tell like a facial, you know, twitch or something, but you have a hair tell. So the messier,
my hair,
the more trouble you are. Yeah. All right. I'll buy that.
All right. So the doctor creates a hollow version of Dinara Pell.
Yeah.
And there was an awkward moment where he created the bones and the musculature and then the epidermal layer. Mm. And then I was like, wait a minute. They're all standing there with this naked Vidian right there. And I was like, put some clothes on her. And he quickly, from the records, whatever.
Yeah.
Computer files. Can you, put clothes on her? Whew.
Right.
It was awkward for a minute.
You think that was a body double? Do you think that was when it showed her legs from that one angle? Was that a body double?
I don't think so. No, maybe. I don't think so. That was probably the actress. By the way, the actress that was in the makeup, I don't think was ever the actress that played Dinara Pell. I don't think she ever.
What?
No, they had a double who was in the makeup over on the table, physically behind Bob. And what was the actress's name that played Dinara?
Susan Diol. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Diol, whatever it is. Susan I don't think was ever in that makeup. I think that was a double, because if you had Bob Picardo and Susan playing Dinara, healthy Dinara hologram, and then you saw in the background the sick Vidian Dinara, that had to be a third person who was in the makeup, and they would not have spent the money. I'm telling you, I know how cheap Paramount is. They would not have spent the money for another makeup for the actress just for that final dance scene. Huh. That would be the only time that it could have possibly been the actress. And I think, and I hate to give a spoiler here at the beginning of the podcast, but when the doctor goes and dances with her at the very end for that one scene, you notice she never speaks. That's because I think they put the stand-in, the body double, in makeup in that dancing scene. They would not have made an entire makeup for the actress, or they would have had her speak. But the reason she doesn't speak is because it was not the actress, it was the body double.
You just spoiled it for me.
I am sorry, but I'm going to tell it like it is. I am going to tell it like it is.
Okay.
That's how I would put money. I would put...
So,
not big money. I'd put some money, but I'm telling you, I think that's what it was.
But Robbie, in the prior episode, the Death Wish, what we reviewed last week.
Yes.
Okay, so we see John DeLancey and John DeLancey again in the witness scene. So why aren't they spending money to put, you know, green screen Susan Dial guest star on the bio bed and then
because
the
it's
real
that
one there?
Whole makeup, which has to be, you have to go into a life cast and get fitted for the entire head. If it's just the forehead, which the actress did have a forehead piece, that's a much different mold. You don't need a full life cast mold for that, but you would need a lot of sculpting and a lot of makeup for the other stuff. I'm telling you, I guarantee you they did not make, because the Vidian character, the Vidian Dinara never spoke. Did you ever hear her speak a line?
Let me think.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think
so. True, she's on the bio bed the entire time. She doesn't. She had never wakes up from it. She comes in the very end scene to do the dance with the doctor.
Yes, that was a double. That was not the actress. She never said.
And even the doctor didn't even say anything. They just started dancing.
Yep,
that's so crazy. So
sorry to ruin that romantic moment, and it was super romantic. But
yeah,
I'm telling you, that was the double. They never put the actress in a full makeup.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, Ken Biller would know this, right?
Yes, Cliff Ball would know. We should make some calls.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Ken would know for sure, right? So maybe he can answer that for us.
Chakotay goes into Janeway shortly after this. He goes in and tells Janeway, he goes, "Your Paris is causing some trouble, and he's your personal reclamation project." I was insulted by that. I'm just going to say right now, how dare him? I was much more than Janeway's personal little reclamation project.
You sound like you're like I don't know. You're like a public work, like you were a dam or something.
Yes, exactly. I was a broken swamp.
You're a broken swamp. You were a bog that needed reclamation. Yes. My goodness. That's really kind of offensive, but
it was a little offensive.
Yeah.
But you know, Paris is going through stuff these first couple seasons. He's growing up. Dinar Pell wakes up from her holographic version of herself with clothes. The doctor is very cocky about his idea. It was my idea. He's very Bob is so good in this episode. He really takes some moments that could be misfires, and he just very subtly plays the comedy and delivers the lines perfectly. I thought it was great.
You skipped the scene with Torres, the whole
asking
to extract tissue from her brain, basically.
That happens, and B'Elanna gets really pissed off. I feel like the doctor could have, as this whole episode shows, the doctor is often not very sophisticated with his presentation of things. Mm-hmm. And he does not present things in a sensitive way to B'Elanna. So she gets really pissed off about donating some of her brain tissue to the people that experimented on her and tortured her and were just horrific to her. So
he's so blunt. He's so blunt.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really lovely. I thought our guest actress playing Dinara comes in and gives a beautifully compassionate and lovely delivery of, you know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to, you know, that and apologizes and explains how desperate her people are. And it really turns B'Elanna. B'Elanna agrees to help.
Yep.
Which I thought was a really great scene for Roxanne and a really great turn for her.
Yeah.
I also love the moment. So as the day, that day is ending and she doesn't want to go to sleep. The doctor says, well, we should deactivate your, you know, your hologram to save, it won't put such a drain on the body itself. And she's like, but I don't want to go to sleep. I have too much energy. I want to tour the ship. And he says, well, you're welcome to use my office and brush up on some medical
journals.
Medical journals. His delivery was, it was great.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Then he realizes we can go to Sandrine's. And so that's where we're at.
Yes.
I love Neelix's laugh in the beginning when you guys are playing pool. He's like, he does this really funny little laugh. Yeah. Whatever he does. So yeah,
he's very funny.
That was a little cute.
And he comes over and tells the doctor, you know, oh, who's your date? And he's like, this is not my date. I love the doctor. I love the idea that he's unaware. You know, he definitely, as we see later, has his first, he falls in love, truly falls in love for the first time, or has his first deep crush, the one that, as Paris says later on, that, you know, you'll never forget, that you never quite get over, and you remember the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't understand his program's adapting.
He doesn't.
Single. Yeah.
In Sandrine's, when they're having that initial conversation and when they're getting to know each other, she talks about, because she says, I could come here every day. I love it here. And the doctor says, well, you don't have recreational facilities back in your place. And she says, well, congregating in groups is strictly regulated.
Oh,
it's considered a threat to public health. And all I could think of is, hey, COVID. Welcome to 2020. That's what we're dealing with. Yeah.
I thought so the same thing.
Oh, so relevant.
Same thing. Yeah.
So relevant, you know, and it's just, you know, it's sad that not everyone agrees with that right now in 2020. Not everyone believes that it's a threat, but hearing that in this episode made me think of what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is not the same actor playing the gigolo.
No,
that guy that comes up, I'm like, that's not the, will you be in my private felucca to Janeway, that guy? That, I mean, you.
Yes, you, I forgot about the private felucca.
Felucca guy, yeah.
What is a
that
felucca?
Guy was, I don't know, but that guy was a very model. That guy looked like a model that we had in the original.
Yes.
One. Clearly, he was a European
This guy,
model.
I was like, who is this guy? Is he?
This guy was like president of the fraternity. Like, he wasn't model-y looking, but he was like a big jockey looking guy.
Yeah, he was a bro. Right?
He's totally a bro. Yeah, but not a
European. He's the bro gigolo.
Yeah, he was. We've got the bro gigolo and the European gigolo.
Yeah.
So clearly, European gigolo was not available for filming at this time, or his agents were asking for too high of a price for his private felucca. Yeah, he wanted to purchase a private felucca, so he maybe asked for a higher rate or something. So,
by the way, Paris was just an extra in this scene. I noticed that.
Yeah,
I
didn't say a word.
I did not say a word. Just playing pool in the background. I also learned that the doctor had cured Neelix of a horrific disease called an acute case of the hiccups.
Yes.
Which I never knew.
Which then brings her to these, you know, laughter.
And, yeah.
She starts kind of having feelings for the doctor. And I do believe with a lot of women that laughter is the way to a woman's heart. You know what I'm saying? Like if you can make a lady laugh, you've already run half the marathon. At that point, you've gotten, you know, to a really good position, I think.
Yeah.
We learned some other things about the doctor, that he's activated on Stardate 48308. We know that. We know that he mentions that we learned that the doctor doesn't dance because it's not part of his programming. That's another thing that we learn. We also learned that he mentions several clinical studies have shown humor to be therapeutic. And that's something, that I've actually known for many, many years, that there have been cases of individuals who are stricken with terminal cancer, and they have actually beaten that and, you know, been cancer-free from laughter, of all things, and not traditional medicine, not any type of chemotherapy, but actually just exposing themselves to watching so many different types of comedies. And so, yeah, humor does, or laughter really is the best medicine in a way, I think. So that's something of note that people should remember.
Agreed. She also, in this moment, when he makes her laugh and he talks about it being therapeutic, she says, that her uncle Schmullis used to make her laugh.
Make her laugh. Right.
And that's why she suggests the name for the doctor, and he likes it.
Yeah.
Dr. Schmullis.
Unfortunately, I don't know why. I mean, maybe Ken Biller came up with that name because of some personal connection, but to me, it just sounds very close to the Yiddish word schmuck, which is not a good name to have. You know what I'm saying? So Shmuel, the whole, that's very Yiddish sounding.
Or Shmuel. Shmuel is a, isn't that another, wasn't there something in Shmuel. Laverne and Shirley?
Shmuel.
Shmazel. Well, Incorporated or something. I don't know. Shlemiel. Shlemazel.
But the Shmuel, when you mentioned that, I actually went to college with Eliezer Ben Shmuel. So that was that's a name in
Hebrew.
That's
a name, yeah.
Shmuel. So Ben Shmuel means son of Shmuel. So, so maybe she just called him Shmuel, or maybe Shmuel was the name that Ken Biller had. Maybe Ken Biller's uncle was Shmuel. I know Ken Biller's Jewish, so it's very possible. Maybe. He has an Israeli uncle named Shmuel.
Named Shmuel, and he's Shmuelus.
Shmuelus. But very endearing that she calls him this.
It's very cute. It's very,
very cute. They almost kiss. They almost kiss in this scene, actually.
Yeah.
You see that little and it doesn't
happen. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I think they go back after Sandrine's, they go back to sickbay and
mess hall, actually.
You're missing
a scene. Yeah, we go to the mess hall right after Sandrine's.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yep. And this is where you say to Chakotay, "My problem is you." So this is your little, you know, rebellious, and your hair is again still rebellious. So.
Yeah, my hair is very rebellious in this episode.
Okay, and then what scene were you going to?
I was thinking about the scene before the mess hall, right after Sandrine's, they go back.
Did I skip one myself?
Yeah, end the night, they go back after Sandrine's to sickbay, and says, you know, I think I should deactivate you. That's where they almost kiss.
That's the almost kiss. Okay.
Yeah, right. They almost kiss there. And, correct. And they almost kiss, and they almost kiss, and they almost kiss, and the anticipation of it. And then the doctor says, "Dinara, I think we should." And she goes, "Yes." There's this moment where, "I think we should." "Yes." And then he goes, "Deactivate your program." What a buzzkill. Or another kind of kill. You could call it any romance kill, whatever kill you want. The doctor. Yep.
You do that face again when you do the yes face. When you're like, yes. Can you do that again?
Yeah.
The anticipation face you just did.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's a great look. Is that a funny face? It really is. I just wonder if that's the look you get, you know, before you kiss somebody, before you kiss Rebecca.
I hope not. I would scare them off. I think I would scare them to death with that face. I'm making a face of anticipation for those on the podcast that if you could see it, it might frighten you. Yes.
Well, let's just describe it. What happens is Robbie sort of like looks, he moves his head closer and looks up a little bit, and his eyes are wide eyed, and he's like, yes. And he looks like a schoolgirl about to be, you know, I don't know what it is.
Well,
but
that's how Dinara felt. And then the doctor said, deactivate your program.
Yes.
Oh my God, buzzkill. All right.
Yeah, yes. But then again, he has no game though. He's never had games. So he's trying to figure learning. Out. He's adaptive.
Yeah.
Right. So he's adapting.
So we're in the mess hall. Paris and Chakotay definitely get into another heated discussion.
Yeah.
And doesn't like how Chakotay is running things. And we notice Jonas in the mess hall.
Yeah.
And we're starting to connect Jonas looking at what Paris is doing. And we know that Jonas is talking to the Kazon and to Seska. So clearly there's going to be a connection there. There's clearly there's some, you know, he's watching
it.
There's going to be something down the road.
There's a setup here.
There is.
It's a setup. Yeah. It's setting it up for the future, right? So we see that. And then we have a...
just doing my anticipation face. I'm excited. Yes.
Everyone listening is going to say, why is Garrett laughing for no reason? Because Robbie's doing his schoolgirl anticipation face.
Face of anticipation.
Me? Did you pick me? Okay. You are the belle of the ball. Jonas, now we see Jonas talking secretly to the Kazon, and he is asked to plan an accident to damage Voyager's warp coils.
Yes.
To do sabotage in the name of the Kazon.
Yep.
And he's not too happy about that. You know,
no, he's like, finally like, I need to talk to Seska or I'm not doing anything.
And let's see, what scene are we at now?
The doctor is back in sick bay. The doctor is running a diagnostic on himself to try to figure out what is going on. And Kes is in there. She says, well, maybe it's, you know, it's romance.
Yeah.
He says that's impossible. Yeah. He's not programmed to handle romance.
Correct.
And
she recommends to him that the doctor needs to tell Dinara how he feels.
Yes.
But she fails to tell him or teach him the lesson of timing.
The very important lesson of timing and sensitivity. And so in the middle of a surgery on Pell's sick body.
It's surgical procedure.
With a holographic Pell right next to him. He takes that advice and says something like, by the way, I'm romantically attracted to you and was wondering if you feel the same way. As he just works. And sadly, she's so surprised that in that moment she says, you know, I think we should just keep things professional.
Yeah. He caught her off guard.
He caught her off guard. Mm-hmm. And he almost really screwed up. Yes.
Yeah.
There.
But boy did Bobby Picardo play rejection well. He showed it in, it was so subtle, but it was definitely there that he's rejected by Dinara. You could see it in his face.
And so who does the doctor go to for romantic advice?
The doctor goes to the love doctor, Tom Paris. That's who he goes to.
The love doctor.
The love doctor. In Sandrine.
I thought that was a great scene. I mean, I had forgotten that I'd done that scene with Bob.
Yeah.
But I thought
any memories of shooting that scene that come to mind?
I remember when I walked, I vividly remembered the blocking for some reason, because I remembered when I walked over to to refill my water or whatever. And yep. that sort of moment where Bob was looking at me and then sort of turned away. And I knew how the shot was playing, that, you know, yeah. it was sort of wide, and it wasn't until he turned and sat down that his reaction to what he had heard sort of played. And mm-hmm. I thought it was staged beautifully. Again, Cliff Ball's a old school, you know, been around a long time. I remember in that scene noticing and noting for myself with my directing ambitions, how beautifully and simply it was staged to really amplify certain moments like that. When Paris tells him about, you know, the first love, and, you know, that you'll never forget it, and talks about Susie Crabtree. I think Paris yeah. talks about, he knew immediately the girl that was his first love.
Yep. You broke out in hives.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
Susie Crabtree. And but talking about staging, how simple it was, what you were saying, it's sometimes true. It's the kiss rule. Keep it simple, stupid. So yeah. the simplicity of a camera move or blocking sometimes
yeah.
is much better than this complex. And then you do this and then you do that. It's like, yeah. and then it gets muddy. It gets really, it's confusing, right? So it mm-hmm. it was simple and it was good. Megan suggested something interesting. She said, why don't you ask Robbie, what does Susie Crabtree look like in his estimation? Is she blonde? Is she brunette? Is she a redhead?
Oh,
and also, Susie who would Crabtree. You cast in that role? What actress would you cast in that role?
Oh,
like, what is the image of Paris's Susie Crabtree?
I think Paris's Susie Crabtree was like, I think she was probably like a Judy Garland in, you know, the old Mickey Rooney movies, like kind of the fresh faced, you know, slightly freckled girl next door, maybe a little tomboyish, yeah. but pretty and spunky. Yeah. And that would be the yeah. Susie Crabtree, I think that Paris would be talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because yeah. I know Robbie McNeil's version of Susie Crabtree is always going to be petite. You like more petite women. That's been your...
Do you think people... Go-to. I mean, do you think like the doctor, did he have a type that he fell for? Did, you know, did Janeway have a type that he fell for? Or do you think
people... I don't know. I don't think type? The doctor... No. I don't. Yes, I do think people have a type in general. Yes, I do. I do, because I think I see it in Bob Picardo's real life, what his type is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, like, I know what his ex-wife looks like. I know what his current wife looks like. And yeah. there's some similarities, and I'm going, And actually, Dinara Pell actually, in a way, kind of resembles some of mm-hmm. his preferences in choosing a lady, I suppose. But I do believe that anyone, you can end up with someone who's against your type as well, you know, as long as, like I said, if somebody makes somebody laugh, if somebody does something that you feel a connection with, that person mm-hmm. can be different from your standard type. Mm-hmm. So it's not always black and white. There's definitely gray area there for sure. So Judy Garland.
Yeah, I think that would be my, yeah, Tom Paris's Susie Crabtree. So yeah, so they go to, you know, Tom Paris says, I've got an idea. And we find out that idea was the scene you remember, the old car sitting on Mars.
Yeah.
Looking at the, you know, the beautiful stars in the sky. And
yeah.
And it was very romantic. By the way, that song that was playing, I Only Have Eyes For You.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My parents used to listen. When I was a very young kid, they had a bunch of 45s. That were their
nice
their songs from the 50s when they were kid, you know, teenagers.
Yeah.
And that song was one of their favorites that I remember as a kid. My parents would play
wow.
on the record player over and over. So that was
great
that
song was though.
Yeah.
I love
perfect,
that song.
Perfect song.
Yeah. I love that 57 Chevy as well.
Yeah.
I like that vehicle.
Yeah. And he offers to try dancing again in that scene. So they keep that idea of dancing alive. And she goes, no, let's yeah. just sit here.
Let's just sit here.
We go, and it's a beautiful scene, very romantic. We go on the bridge, and Paris is late again. And Chakotay says, you know, that's fine. Get out of here. We don't need you anymore. This is enough. Enough is enough. Yeah. And Paris gets really hot, goes to Janeway for a little help. And then Chakotay grabs his arm, my arm.
Yeah.
How dare he? And so Paris shoves him. And Chakotay just topples down pretty. Either Paris is really strong, or Chakotay needs to go to the gym a little. I don't know which.
That to me looked like when you're watching a soccer game and one of the players pretends to fall, like really, yeah, the flop. That was a flop. Come on, man. What the heck was that?
A total flop.
Because weren't you, Robbie, pulling away from him? But your arm, yes. You're trying to like, don't. So when you pull your arm away from somebody, the other person doesn't fly to the ground.
It was a little silly.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think they just wanted some like physical interaction. So now Paris is in the brig. Take him to the brig, Tuvok. We'll see what happens. Interesting that we cut right to a Seska scene from Paris going to the brig.
Yeah.
Seska and Jonas talking, and she basically says like she is going to take Voyager. She's not going to raise a child on a Kazon ship. And she says, meet me at Hammakik 4. Hammakik 4 at this planet in a couple of days, and I'll give you the details of the plan. So we know something's going down with Kazon, Seska, Jonas. This stuff is getting real. They are still working on Pell, and the doctor is in there performing a synaptic transfer at this point when all of a sudden things start to go wrong. And he's like, I don't understand. The graft is being rejected.
Yeah.
What's going on? And he checks the medicines and he talks to Kes, and then finally Pell admits.
They find naloxone, let's say it. Like they find naloxone instead of the cervelline. So now, go ahead. She admits what?
She admits that, yes, she was the one that administered the drug, that she does not want to go back to living in that body.
Yeah.
And
which then, Robbie, gave me flashes of our last episode of Death Wish of, you know, sort of like, I just want to just end it right now. You know, I'd rather just live my next couple of days with you.
Yeah.
Sad, you know,
it is sad. And it's, you know, there was an issue for the first time in this episode, this issue of sort of beauty came up of physical beauty that, you know, well, if I look like that, then you won't love me anymore. She says,
correct.
And he wonderfully says, you're not that body. You're just, you know, that's not who you are. Mm-hmm. You're just sick. And we, you know, we can fix you and we can work on fixing you, you know, getting you well, but that's not, you know, your physical appearance is not what I love, basically.
Right.
Some version of that is what the doctor said.
Yep. Yep.
And she thought before Voyager, she felt like she was just a disease, that she wasn't the person. Mm-hmm. that the doctor Shmulis fell in love with, and he would love her no matter what condition she was in, she said. He says, and I love that last moment in Sandrine's where you're like, we don't know exactly what's going to happen really, and then we go to Sandrine's and we see that she did choose to not reject the transfer, to get her body, you know, to back into, you know, survival mode at least, and to go back and help the people on her planet. So you see them have a last dance there, which was a beautifully poetic little moment, I thought.
It was, but Robbie, that wasn't entirely clear to me. Like for me, I was wondering, did she really make that choice?
Really?
Or did she? Yeah, because like part of me felt maybe she did choose to not get back in the body and to die. And then that representation was of her in her regular, you know, body was just to show that the doctor loved her inner beauty and not her exterior beauty.
Yeah.
And that was the end of her life. Maybe.
That's interesting. You know, that wasn't clear to you. To me, that was really clear, is that if she's there in that form, that means he convinced her and revived her body, and you know that she is now back in a body and not the holographic version. The doctor had a line I want to just read out here because I thought it was so beautiful. I went back and listened to it a couple times. The doctor said in that next to the last scene where he's convincing her to stay with him for a couple of weeks, we can be together for a couple of weeks before you would go back, and he says, you said that before you knew me you were just a disease. Well, before you, I was just a projection of photons held together by force fields, a computerized physician doing a job, doing exceptionally well, of course. But still, it was just a profession, not a life. But now that you're here and my program has adapted, I'm not just working anymore. I am living, learning what it means to be with someone, to love someone. I don't think I can go back to the way things were either. I thought that was a beautiful line. It was so well written by Ken Biller. I think it captures something that a holographic technology doctor is discovering and expressing, but we can all relate to that. Mm-hmm. That feeling of how love can make us feel alive, and the things that, not just love, but the things, the experiences in life that allow us to be more than just someone doing something, you know, being a doctor, being a whatever, doing what we do, but actually
is that tied into your theme?
It is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My theme is, where's my theme? My theme is, I thought of the quote, it's better to have loved and lost than to never love at all. That was the theme to me, is the doctor had never loved before. And even though there was pain, and he says in that early in that first scene, like, why would anyone choose this? That it was worth it. That his program altering to learn what love is was worth it. It's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. So that's my theme.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you? What's your theme?
A couple of things. Kes's quote to Dinara, Kes's quote in sickbay, she says, there's nothing sadder than a missed opportunity, which was what she was telling to Dinara. And and also that's a good quote for the doctor, you know, like if he didn't make the move, then he wouldn't have known, you know. That is definitely a theme for me in this episode. And also, never to judge a book by its cover, you know. Just because Dinara Pell has this crazy horrific exterior, it doesn't really mean that's what is on the inside. I just think those are two quotes that I'm going to throw out there, and you used a quote as well, which is not from this episode, but a quote that people do have used before in the past. So,
well, great. I really enjoyed that episode. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought Bob's performance, our guest actress, was phenomenal. I thought,
And Charlie Russo thinks it's a great episode too. So that's what's important.
It was really great. It was really a wonderful episode.
So. Yeah, he did a good job, and I enjoyed it too.
Two thumbs up.
All right.
Bing.
Okay, guys, thank you for tuning in. Join us next week when we rewatch and discuss the episode Investigations. And for everyone else, all of you Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.